From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the U.S. government remains shut down. However, official word has come from USDA on Friday's reports. There won't be any. The WASDE and NASS reports aren't the only affected items for agriculture. No crop progress today, no inspections, and as Dave Dickey will report a bit later, no new trade negotiations. Hey, don't forget that we'll take a look at the weather forecast as we close out our half hour together. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City will be here. And I'll tell you a bit more about how Chicago is now setting the indemnity payout price for crop insurance that farmers took last March as we make our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Let's check the numbers as they came in from Chicago for a Monday afternoon. At the CME Group nearby contract for the corn, that's December, the lead option harvest month, up 6 cents today at $4.49 and a quarter. The March at $4.61 and three quarters, 5 and three quarters higher. And May corn at $4.69 and three quarters, up 5 and a quarter. July futures $4.77, 5 and a quarter higher. And December of next year, $4.89 and three quarters, up 4 and three quarters. November soybeans today, $12.96 and a half, a penny and a half higher. January up to at $12.97. March at $12.84 and a quarter, a nickel higher. And the May soybeans, $12.64 and a quarter, 6 and a half cents higher. July futures there, $12.60 and three quarters, up 7 and a half. And next year's November at $11.78. That finished 3 and three quarters higher. Bean meal futures for the day at $4.33.70, up 2.40. Bean oil at $39.65, down 34 cents. The July soft red winter wheat at $7 and a penny, up 7 and a quarter. And the hard red at $7.39 and three quarters, up 6 and three quarters for the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished up the October at $127.87 and a half. That's 17 and a half lower. December at $132.30, down 12 and a half cents. October feeders at $164.45 lower. November at $165.47 and a half, down 47 and a half cents. And October lean hogs for the day, $91.60, down 25 cents. December at $87.87 and a half, up 25. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like. Nearby November crude oil at $103.06 a barrel, down 78 cents. The RBOB gasoline, that's the wholesale price at $2.62 and 2 tenths. That's a penny and a half higher. Ethanol at $1.68 and 7 tenths, unchanged. And the natural gas at $3.63 and a half, 12 and 9 tenths of a cent higher. Diesel fuel trading $3.09 of a cent, a penny higher for the day. And the gold futures at $1,324.90 an ounce, up $15.20. The U.S. dollar down 0.17 at 79.94 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. As it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today, sunny skies, a high of 65 degrees for the afternoon, 66 actually outside our studios right now, with a northwest wind at 13 miles an hour. And then this evening, mostly clear and a low of 42 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny skies and 74. And by the time we get to tomorrow evening, it'll be clear with a low of 43. Sunny on Wednesday and 74 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear and 48. And Thursday, sunny skies and 76. Thursday night, clear and 52. Friday, sunny and 78. Friday night, partly cloudy and 56 degrees. On Saturday, partly cloudy skies, rather partly sunny skies, and a high of 77. Saturday night, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy otherwise, and a low of 56. And Sunday, sunny skies and 71. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated will bring us up to date.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for the 7th day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets, as usual, from Normal, Illinois, and Bates Commodities, is Kurt Kimmel. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Another week, the government is shut down, and trade still managed to happen in Chicago for the day, didn't it?
Yeah, life does go on, I guess, traders are kind of hands in pocket. It's like electricity. You don't realize you use it until it's not there. And so everybody's got kind of a cautious attitude. I imagine this so-called shutdown probably puts the pressure on the buyer more than anything from the standpoint. When you look at the players, who's doing what, you've got the producer who's a primary seller, and producers kind of in the mindset right now that, if I haven't sold it now, there's no need to sell it, and I can, put in storage, and I still got, crop insurance or hedges on to protect my downside here. And so unless the market really, bumps up here or there's a strong cash bid, I think the producer wants to try to hang on here for a while. Whereas the buyer, on the other hand, we came into this fall fairly well empty, and I think the pressure's on him to get some coverage on, and having to rely on the private source to determine where we are if harvest progress is put a little bit more pressure on, wanting to give a little bit more coverage on, because the last thing a buyer wants to do is wake up, have the government come back to work, and all of a sudden we're 75% harvested and he doesn't have his coverage on, and that would be pretty well disaster for him. So I think the buyers are under the gun in through here, especially with the trade talk that China was in, buying anywhere from 800,000 up to 1 million metric tons of U.S. corn here. So that's why we're seeing kind of the strength we're seeing. Also on the wheat side, we're seeing a little bit of weather concerns in Russia, Black Sea region. And so initially that was the fundamental catalyst to have the funds unwind some short positions here. They were heavily short corn, unwind the spreads. Early in the session we saw a lot of the selling the bean, buying corn, selling the beans, and buying the wheat. So it's more of a positioning thing in here. Active volume for the day. There's a fair amount of volume, but I imagine we're probably done here for the week unless some other news comes forward here, Todd.
Yeah, so when you talk about the Chinese bean in the market, normally we would have a couple of reports that would deal with that, but those won't happen this week, right?
Hey, correct. The daily sales reporting catches the sales on a daily basis. Of course, they have the weekly export sales report on Thursdays, and of course, we have the shipments report on Monday afternoon to give us an idea of how much we've shipped there, too. So now, this Chinese is they're expected to purchase only anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 million metric tons on the marketing year. So, this isn't a shocker. It's just that there's supposedly rumors now that they're coming forward here and trying to get some coverage on before we get harvest wrapped up and see the seasonal tendency to move higher.
Did we get any numbers for the crop progress? It won't come out this afternoon, but the trade probably released something or not.
Yeah, there's all kinds of ideas. It varies widely throughout the countryside here, but ideas are that we've got the corn harvest anywhere from 0.19 to 21% complete, and this bean harvest anywhere from 20 to 22% complete as a nation. And we expect a big jump in bean harvest activity here this week as driving through the countryside. There's a lot of beans ready to go as soon as the weather's fit for them to get in cut again.
And then, of course, Friday, the United States Department of Agriculture was supposed to release both the WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, and the crop production reports. But today there was word from USDA, despite the fact that the government has furloughed many people. The communications folks are not among them, or at least not all of them. that those reports will not be released this Friday, whether or not the government happens to go back to work. So no WASD and no crop production reports on Friday. That didn't keep the numbers from coming out. There are some reports about what people think crop size and carryouts and all those sorts of things are like.
Yeah, and today's your lucky day. We're working, and we got the numbers for you here, Todd. Corn production expected to be about 13.837. That's just a little bit below September 13.843. The yields expect to be 157 versus 155.3. So if the higher yield odds are that they're looking at a little lower harvested acreage number. On the bean side of the equation, they're looking for bean production to be about 3.161 versus 3.149. It's a little higher than last month, and the yield's expected to go up almost half a bushel at 41.6 versus 41.2. So that's kind of what the averages are from the private sector as of this week.
All right. Now let's talk about what producers ought to be doing. Most, I think, are looking at the marketplace, as you said earlier, and saying, well, we're just going to store the corn, and is that the right thing to do, is the question at hand.
Well, it depends on one situation. When you look at, on-farm storage and a little bit of carry in the marketplace, there's nothing wrong with storing and putting the hedge on or some type of price floor. See what happens here. We feel basis will improve going into this winter. The thing is, if you're paying commercial storage, when you look at shrink and cost of storage, you know, if you can get a good bid, let her move and, you know, do a little bit of replacement. So there isn't real no right answer. It just depends on your own personal situation on that. You know, there's a lot of moving targets there. But we feel basis will strengthen going into the middle of December. So there is some warrant, you know, and on-farm storage may hang on here for a little while, Todd.
Same for soybeans, or are you more of a seller?
Well, I think the premiums, market wants the beans up front here. We've been a little bit more aggressive on moving the beans, getting the money, replacing ownership on paper. The thing is, as you look at the marketplace and what's offering, it's quite obvious once we get past January, February, into that March time window, the trade strongly feels that the Asian market will focus on the southern hemisphere, and that's why the U.S. market kind of drops off when you compare the prices between now and next summer.
And expectations for the livestock market?
Well, kind of no man's land here. I guess of all the data that we kind of accumulate here is really hurting us more in the livestock sector.
Absolutely.
Than anything on cutouts and so forth. So I think that ag side equation, the livestock guys misses the daily reports more than anything right there. But kind of looks like this October contract's going to be cut between this 129, 124 area at a discount. There's quite a bit of premium built in as we move out forward through here. Trade's quite optimistic as we go in the spring with these April fats trading 135, Todd.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, take care.
Mm-hmm. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the U.S. government shutdown entered its second week with no end in sight. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew warned that the budget brinkmanship was playing with fire. House Speaker John Boehner insisted that President Barack Obama must negotiate if the president wants to end the shutdown and avert a default. Boehner ruled out a vote on a straightforward bill to raise the government's borrowing authority without concessions. Boehner also says he lacks the votes to pass a clean bill or continuing resolution, a reference to the temporary spending bill without conditions that would keep the government operating. Asked how the standoff might end, Boehner, a Republican from Ohio, said that he was uncertain. Boehner said, quote, "If I knew, I'd tell you." The United States has canceled plans for a second round of negotiations on a major U.S.-European trade pact set to begin today, citing financial and staffing difficulties related to the U.S. government shutdown. U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman called European Union's trade commissioner to tell him that the U.S. could not proceed with the talks. Froman says U.S. negotiators would work to create a new plan for talks once the U.S. government shutdown ends. The Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, or TTIP, is the largest bilateral free trade agreement ever negotiated. Froman is currently in Indonesia negotiating terms for the proposed 12-nation Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Agreement on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack sent a handwritten letter to House Speaker John Boehner asking him to appoint conferees for the Farm Bill. Vilsack has pushed for Congress to complete a new Farm Bill while at the same time criticizing the House for the level of proposed cuts to the nutrition programs. Vilsack wrote, "I respectfully ask on behalf of all those who would benefit from the passage of a Farm Bill to appoint a conference committee from the House." Vilsack went on to say the Senate has made its appointments and discussions could begin immediately on developing a bill that will keep the momentum going in the agricultural economy while addressing the challenge of poverty and population declines in rural America. A lack of soil moisture in the northern and western reaches of the Argentine grain belt is delaying corn planting. The delays are serious enough in Cordoba, Santa Fe, and Buenos Aires provinces that the Buenos Aires Cereals Exchange this week has lowered its 2013-14 Argentine corn area forecast by 250,000 acres to 8.5 million acres. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Can't catch us on the web? Then try this, 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. It's just voicemail, but it's updated with some numbers and a bit of analysis at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day of the year, Central Time. Now, up next, you know the prices set this month in Chicago will have a direct effect on the indemnity payouts for the crop insurance farmers purchased last March from the federal government. I'll have more on some of the early calculations. The early October price of December corn futures in Chicago suggests crop insurance policies will make payments, at least on some farms, particularly those farms covered by revenue policies at high coverage levels. There's not much chance for crop insurance payments on soybeans. University of Illinois Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnicki posted an article on the subject to the Farm Doc Daily website. Let's do the numbers for corn as they come from Schnicki's calculations. The 2013 projected price for corn is $5.65 per bushel. The projected price is used to set crop insurance guarantees. The harvest price is used to calculate revenue on which crop insurance payments are based. The harvest price for corn equals the average of settlement prices of the December Chicago Mercantile Exchange, or CME, group corn contract during the month of October.
Well, settlement prices during the first 2 days of October suggest a harvest price of $4.40 a bushel. Obviously, the final harvest price can vary from $4.40. However, $4.40 provides a good starting point for evaluating corn payments. Well, the harvest price option crop insurance at the 75% level does not make a payment at $4.40 if the guaranteed yield is 180 bushels to the acre. The 80% coverage level pays out at $22 under that yield and price, and 85% pays $72 an acre. Gary Schnutke provides a chart for these numbers in his article on the Farm Doc Daily website. There's one for soybeans, too. However, it's unlikely crop insurance for beans will make a payment. On the other hand, GRIP, or the Group Risk Income Plan, a different type of crop insurance, is likely to pay. Now, most farmers who purchase GRIP do so at a 90% coverage level. To illustrate the size of payments, take a McLean County, Illinois GRIP policy with an actual yield equal to the expected yield of 183.3 bushels to the acre. A $4.40 harvest price results in a $209 payment, given that the highest protection level was chosen. The lowest protection level results in $126 per acre payment. The 90% coverage level for GRIP causes the larger payment for GRIP compared to RP, or revenue protection policies, discussed at the beginning of this story. Summary now. Crop insurance payments for corn will occur on some farms, particularly on those where RP policies were purchased at higher coverage levels. GRIP, at the 90% coverage level, likely will make payments. Soybean payments are far less likely. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. Let's check now the cash grain market. Brian Stark is on the phone line from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Are you busy there today?
We are. I had a little bit of a slowdown here from Saturday through the balance of the weekend, given some rain totals we saw Saturday, but guys are now starting to get back at it, and sun's shining, so things are good.
Expectations would be that they might have worked into soybeans today, I suppose, but did the rainfall keep that from happening and keep the corn heads on?
Yeah, I think for the most part, you're probably going to see most guys focus on corn another day. I think by tomorrow into Wednesday, we'll see people switch over to beans, and I'm expecting this week will be a major focus on beans, big bean week.
Yields holding up?
Yeah, for the most part, corn's been much better than anticipated, and early bean yields have been surprisingly good. I haven't heard too many bean yields that are below average, but we're early on into bean harvest, maybe 15 to 20% done, so I think time will tell if the later beans are just as good.
Did corn dry out a lot?
It's dropped quite a bit. It's still in the low 20s. We haven't quite gotten into the teens yet. We're kind of hopeful that as time goes on, it'll get a little drier, but still about the same that we've been seeing here the last week or so.
How you doing without the reports?
Kind of blind. I think most people will tell you that it's tough to tell where we're at, and obviously harvest progress is a big gauge for us at the elevator, trying to see where we're at from a completion standpoint. And obviously there's a big report, a major report Friday that has been kicked down the road, and that's a disappointment given the question around acreage.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Brian Stark is with the Andersons. I don't have time to pick up his numbers for the afternoon. Back in 2 minutes with the weather forecast.
It's National Frappy Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1858, Charles Marvin was born, a U.S. meteorologist. He invented the clinometer that figures the height of clouds over airports. He was the chief of the U.S. Weather Bureau from 1913 to 1934, and he was especially interested in the application of mathematical statistics to meteorological problems. In 1894, Oliver Wendell Holmes died. and American physician, poet, and humorist. He was the author of The Professor of the Breakfast Table and Over the Teacups. In 1940, the U.S. Postal Service issued a one-cent stamp honoring Eli Whitney, inventor of the mechanical cotton gin. In 1950, Willis Carrier died, an American inventor. He was responsible for modern air conditioning. And in 1956, Clarence Birdseye died in New York, an American naturalist and inventor. He is the creator of the deep freezing food method and co-founder of General Foods Corporation. On Arctic trips as a field naturalist for the United States government, he noticed that freshly caught fish, when placed onto the Arctic ice and exposed to the icy wind and frigid temperatures, froze solid almost immediately. He learned, too, that the fish, when thawed and eaten, still had all its fresh characteristics. In September of 1922, Birdseye organized his own company, Birdseye Seafoods Incorporated, in New York City. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Drew Lerner is here with an update of today's agricultural weather forecast.
Today's forecast across the Midwest continues to look drier after all the big rains that occurred during the weekend. Some of the rainfall that occurred in the past few days was impressive, especially in some areas like southern Indiana and northwestern Kentucky, where the Louisville area saw more than 7 inches of rain, and quite a few locations along the common border there saw between 3 and about 5 inches. The precipitation will certainly set back fieldwork in that particular area for a while, but it was not representative of the Corn Belt as a whole. Most of the precipitation that occurred during the last 2 or 3 days was lighter than that, with some exceptions. Portions of Ohio saw some 1 to 2.5 inch amounts. There was a few locations, a few counties, if you will, in southern portions of Michigan that also had some heavier amounts of precipitation according to Doppler radar. A few areas across the southern and east central portions of Iowa, as well as from southeastern Minnesota into west central Wisconsin, and then up across parts of the Dakotas. Well, most of this heavier rainfall, we'll see to it that fieldwork is not allowed to advance very well for the next day or two. But really, it's only the southern Indiana and northwestern Kentucky area and maybe a few areas in Ohio that are going to be wet for a long enough period of time to delay fieldwork for a bit longer. The areas in central Illinois and northeastern Missouri, maybe extreme southeastern parts of Iowa, didn't do well with precipitation over the weekend, were left basically dry. Those areas would probably be back in the fields aggressively already today if they weren't that way already yesterday. We do expect to see the temperatures turn warmer. As we go forward through these next few days, those temperatures are going to rise above average. The specific temperature ranges out there today will be mostly 60s and 70s across the Midwest. That contrasts greatly from where we were on Friday and even on Saturday in some of the eastern Midwest locations where it was in the 80s across the region. A couple of extremes getting up close to 90 degrees before the frontal system moved through over the course of the weekend. But temperatures didn't get much warmer than the 50s and 60s in the upper parts of the Midwest over the course of the weekend, and we saw our first hard freezes during the weekend in the northwest and west central portions of the U.S. Great Plains. Temperatures got down to the teens in portions of Montana and western North Dakota. Well, in the meantime, back across the Midwest, we do expect the temperatures to be rebounding here this week, and the afternoon highs are going to be working their way back into the 70s and probably even some lower 80s as we get into the middle part of this week. The warmest weather will be in Kansas, Missouri, portions of the region to the east into parts of southern Ohio River Valley area, including portions of Kentucky. And the Delta and the southeastern states, as well as the southern plains, will be seeing quite a few 80s and lower 90s. We don't expect to see any real meaningful rainfall through Wednesday. And even on Thursday and Friday, the precipitation that occurs is going to be mostly confined to the far westernmost parts of the Midwest. And that includes areas from Nebraska into the Dakotas and western Minnesota, where a quarter to a half inch of rain may occur. But no other area in the Midwest will see much precipitation before the weekend when that frontal system moves eastward.
Our thanks go to Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated for his update of the weather forecast. You've been listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for a Monday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.